What's up, cousin? Welcome to Coco Conjure. Here we talk about all things hoodoo, folklore, and spiritual journeys. My goal is to give foundation to the novice and inspiration to the advanced practitioner. If you haven't guessed already, my name is Coco. This episode of Coco Conjure is brought to you by the subscribe button. Did you know that subscribing to this podcast, wherever you are listening, is absolutely free? And in turn, you get week-to-week updates on new episodes and the occasional community post if you are on YouTube. And at no point will the subscribe button steal your social security number, throw war water on your doorstep, or blow a mysterious powder of dust in your face. So hit the subscribe button today and bring a little joy into your life. Okay, so all that fun aside, before the season break, I talked to you guys about the solar rhythm and how I pair my earth paganness and with my hoodoo, and I do work in accordance to that solar rhythm. And as I was outlining season three, it really got me thinking about timing in hoodoo, like when we do work or when work will take effect. And I feel like in most spiritual or I should probably say most magical practices, timing is everything, right? You have to wait for this planet to align with this hour and make sure some other planetary body isn't in retrograde, and then wait till you are in a liminal time like dawn or dusk, and then you cast your spell, right? Like, it's a lot. You got to bring out that the calculator. You got to consult the charts. Like, it's, there's a lot going on. but hoodoo is different. Hoodoo is different. A modern hoodoo worker, a modern doctor, might take all of these things into consideration, and that may their practice be blessed if they do, because it's a lot of work. You know, it's a lot of work to worry about all that stuff. But I have to admit something to you, cousin. I, Coco, don't worry about any of that. I don't consult the planetary bodies outside of the sun and the moon. I don't worry about retrogrades. You're never going to hear me talk about lion gates. Your girl is super simple. And I live by the motto, do work when work needs to be done. You know, we had that crazy eclipse last year that came over most of the U.S. And people were asking me like, oh, what, you know, what are you going to do for the eclipse? Nothing. I'm going to get my eclipse glasses on and I'm going to watch it because I have no work that needs to be done in this moment. I just want to enjoy, you know, this phenomena as it occurs. Or super moon is coming up. What are you doing? Nothing. I'm going to sit on my couch and I'm going to read because I don't have any work that needs to be done. everything that needs to be done it has already been done. I don't need to wait for this crazy magical time, this wonderful, you know, universal phenomena to occur in order for me to do my work. I do work when work needs to be done. And the opposite of that is also true, and that, you know, you have anxiety now, you need money tomorrow, your spouse has a wandering eye today, you need your roads open 3 days ago. Like, I'm not going to tell you to wait until the winter solstice to open your roads. I'm going to tell you, well, then you need to open your roads, right? Like, do I do open road work during the winter solstice? Yes, that's a part of my practice. However, if you got a blockage or you need your road open, I'm not going to tell you to wait a whole solar cycle to get that out the way. I'm going to tell you to go do it. You need to do something about it for yourself. See somebody, plan your work, whatever it is you do, you need to do work when work needs to be done. And I love that phrase, do the work when it needs to be done. Okay. That is the basis of most folk magic practices. That's the basis of low magic practices. We are worried about our day-to-day issues. We are worried about, you know, the troubles and the blessings that we are removing and calling from hour to hour. So you don't have time to wait until the moon is full or any of that. You do it when it needs to be done, right? I think we all understand that, right? We all say that so often. And yet, I do have a full podcast episode where I plan out in detail my open road ritual. And I pick certain days, certain times, certain hours, because of the symbolism and the sympathetic magic that occurs during that time, or how I like to practice. I like to do it during the winter solstice. So I'm now going to talk to you about solar rhythms and important times during a four season year, right? Perhaps you're much more traditional than I am, and you've picked up some spiritual work from a mentor or a friend or an ancestor or a teacher or whoever, and they tell you that you have to visit the crossroads at a certain time or do work over 3, 6, 9 days. So how can it be true that you do work when work needs to be done, but also you have to do work at a certain time? Like, how is it possible that timing is everything and also absolutely meaningless? You know what I mean? So just like color, I feel like timing in hoodoo is dealer's choice, especially as we move into, you know, this modern hoodoo era when folks start to reference retrogrades, planetary hours, bring in other magical practices to maneuver alongside their hoodoo, right? You're never going to hear great, great aunt Matilda talk about, oh yeah, I lit this candle to remove this, you know, this bad spirit that was settled over my house, had me and my husband arguing, but I had to wait until the moon was dark. Like, you're never going to hear her say that. You know what I mean? But from what I can gather, back in the day, timing was less about when to do work and more about stops and starts, right? Unless you're talking about like graveyard work, where you have to go to the graveyard at a certain time because that's when the spirits are the most active. Like, sometimes timing shows up in that way, but most times it was about when the work stops, when the work starts. That's it. At least from what I could see, that was written down. So what do I mean about stops and starts? I mean, like, when an ailment will stop and when it will start. One informant told Harry Hyatt, who I talk about him often on this podcast, he's a folklorist and a studier of Southern conjure from Maryland to Florida, like from the Mississippi to the East Coast. Like, he was all over. This informant told Harry Hyatt that his wife would hop up and down like a pigeon dove at 12 o'clock every day, right? The story goes like this. The story says, last year, my wife got hurt in her leg. They had her up every night at 12 o'clock hopping like a dove, and she couldn't sleep. And she just tell me, she say, somebody done something to me. And I say, well, I see if somebody done something to you. So I went and got me some dove blood, took that and fixed that up in some medicine and give it to her and let her take that. And then I rubbed it on her, you see, with that nuzu oil. I rubbed her good for 15 days. Then I turned that spell back on the peers, of, you know, whatever they put on her. Okay, so every day at 12 midnight, this woman is jumping up and down like a bird. And he, in order for him to get it to stop, he had to rub her leg down with some dove blood medicine for 15 days. Like, all of that sounds really arbitrary. And it doesn't seem like it's animistic either. Like, the hour of midnight has some sort of power. No, it seems more like that time was chosen because whoever put that on her, whoever rooted her, decided that was the most inconvenient time possible to make her behave in this way. So whoever sent it made sure that the work started at 12 in the morning, right? And didn't stop so she wouldn't sleep. And when you start to think of timing in that way, you can get downright cunning, right? So How can we use time in our work to inconvenience a target? Or what might be more cunning and diabolical? How can we use time to hide the work we do? Right? Like this other lady who told Harry Hyatt that she was hit with a sleeping spell and couldn't stay up past 10 p.m. That story goes something like this. It goes like, at 10 o'clock at night, I had to lay down. If I didn't lay down at 10 p.m., I was going to fall. But 10 o'clock every night, I noticed I had to go down. And company would come and see me. And the company, I would tell them, now you all set as long as you want to, because at 10 o'clock, I get so weak, I have to lay down. One day when I come home from work, I met my cousin on 4th Street. And when I met him, my fence fell. So I said to him, I said, you come home and help me fix my gate. And also, you know, my fence fell. You got to help me with that too. And as soon as he come home Monday evening, he said, now, cousin, 2 o'clock tomorrow, I got to go to work. And I said, well, all right, then I'm going to cook dinner and you have your dinner here tomorrow and you help me fix the gate and the fence. And as we fixing that fence, the time for him came to go. So he went on and I had to shovel. I got right to my gate just as I was going back to the house and something said to me, dig, you got to dig. And I dug. I got a bottle from my gate where I've been walking all along. It was the thing that caused me to lay down at 10 o'clock every single night. And it had sulfur in it and it had hair in it and it had blue stones in it and it made some kind of roots. And when I took it up, I hold it right up and I say, cousin, come and see this. Somebody was trying to injure me and they conjured me too, because, you know, at 10 o'clock at night, I gotta lay down. And the people come and look at it. And cousin was like, oh, well, you know, it's nothing but a bunch of children who put that there. And I said, y'all, I said, children couldn't put that there. I said, children couldn't put all kinds of mess in this bottle and put it at my gate. So to banish it, right, I'm going to have to carry it to a conjurer. And the cousin was like, you ain't going to do that. Don't touch that. And I said, nah, I got to carry it to a man that can conjure right. And so I kept it. And do you know that night I could set up till 11 and 12 o'clock? So I kept it till about a Friday evening. And then that Friday evening, I made a fire in the pot in my backyard. I opened the bottle and I burned up the stuff. And it wasn't long before the lady next door had to go to the hospital and have her leg cut off. Okay, so at the end of that anecdote, basically we're supposed to believe that it was the lady next door who put the roots on our heroin. And cousin, that lady had our heroin all messed up. It's not clear why the lady next door would do this, but how freaking diabolical is it that they set their work to spring into action at a time when normal people would normally fall asleep? Like, I don't know about y'all, but I'm in bed by 10. CPAP on, bonnet secure, blanket up to my neck. It's 10:05. I'm out cold. Like, so if someone were to do this to me, child, I don't know how long it would take me to figure out that that was not normal. Diabolical, right? So another thing about this anecdote that's just kind of crazy is like, okay, so she kept the bottle, right? Our heroine kept the bottle to give to a conjurer, someone to undo the work. But she doesn't say whether she went to the conjurer or not. All she says is that she kept it until Friday evening and then she undid the work. Why Friday evening? Why couldn't she undo it, you know, the same day or a Saturday or a Sunday? Why did it have to be on a Friday, right? So sometimes timing is everything, like making sure this lady fell asleep at 10 o'clock every day. Sometimes timing is arbitrary, like undoing a spell on a Friday evening. Like, why? Right? Okay, so what can we take away, though, from these two anecdotes? Setting your work against a target, blessing, or jinx, timing can really matter. Most times it's understood that work will take effect and reoccurrence as soon as a trap is sprung. So say this heroine from our last story, the first time she stepped on that bottle was at 10 o'clock at night. That means that every time 10 o'clock at night rolls around, the work takes effect and she's out cold, right? Or you can be intentional and bake timing into your work, right? So say that last heroine, I don't know, she stepped on it 7 in the morning, right? And the lady next door built into the work using whatever method she's using. I don't know about the blue stones and the roots. It's not clear, right? But using whatever method she's using, she's baked into her work that the work will take effect at a certain time, right? So I think that's a way that we don't think about timing normally. We don't think about when we want the work to take effect as we build our work, or maybe it's not something you think about, like if you're going to a worker and the worker is telling you what to do. We don't normally talk about timing in that way, but it's pretty cool if you ask me, and it can get downright diabolical. No, normally when we talk about the timing of our work, we're talking about when we want to perform the work, right? Going back to that idea of retrogrades, lion's gates, solar rhythms, you know, we're talking about when we should start actually doing the work, right? Before I go any further, I want to remind you that a lot of hoodoo is dealer's choice, or it's mentor to student in an unbroken chain. So this, as I'm about to describe to you, is how I like to work, right? But if you have a mentor or you've developed your own system, you might work differently. This is for inspiration. This is for foundation. This is not doctrine, okay? This is just how I like to work. So the best example of timekeeping in hoodoo, when to start and end something, is the lunar and solar cycles. I've already talked to you about using the solar cycle. Check out my episode of the winter solstice. Too long didn't read. The solar cycle is the natural rhythm of time observed in your part of the planet. For us in the United States, that's mostly a four-season cycle: winter solstice, spring equinox, summer solstice, and autumn equinox. Basically, the days get longer, balance out, get shorter, and then balance out again. Rinse, repeat. Okay. You can use this solar cycle as a way of goal setting and trick laying. Go back to listen to that episode. I think it's a pretty good one if you want to utilize more of the solar cycle in your practice. But what most occultists lean towards, especially your modern hoodoo, is the utilization of the lunar cycle, right? 28 days, 13 full moons in a year. The lunar cycle is reliable and a lot shorter than the solar cycle. So here's how that one goes. The lunar cycle is as follows. The moon is dark, meaning you see no moon in the sky. That's a dark moon. Then it's new, meaning you get that first sliver. Then it waxes, meaning it starts to get brighter, bigger. Then it's a full moon, okay? Then it wanes, meaning it gets darker over time until it's completely dark in the sky again. Rinse, repeat, right? So dark moon, and then it waxes, full moon, and then it wanes. Usually, I'll use the moon cycle, the lunar cycle, as a way to stay on top of my spiritual hygiene. So it's a dark moon or even a new moon. I ask myself, do I need to bless my home? Do I need to clear something out? Do I need to, get in a spiritual bath or do some work at the altar to like reset myself, right? So that dark time is a time of reset for me because we're going from dark to full, right? And then it's a full moon. Do I need to refresh protections around my home that I've set to keep unwanted spirits out? Is there something in my spirit that I need to come to terms with and be ready to let go of? I'm working from full and then waning. So from full to dark. So now I'm talking about removals, right? Like in general in my life. So that dark to full, which is the waxing, and then from full to dark, which is the waning, I use those as timekeeping, just taking stock of my blessings and what I'm holding on to and what I need to let go, right? But you can go further than that if you want to, right? Like, while the moon is dark, that's the best time to lay your tricks, because you're under the cover of night, you can go unseen. And then again, we're going from dark moon to full moon, right? So it's a great time to maybe call in blessings for yourself, right? Like gaining money or calling in a lover. Why would we do it from dark to full? It's sympathetic magic, really. As the moon grows, so does your blessings, right? Your blessings has time to grow as the moon grows fuller. And of course, we know the full moon is powerful, right? Everything is lit. People are acting kind of weird. Like, we all know that's a powerful part of the lunar cycle. So on the full moon itself, you know, that's when you might utilize some fast money work, or you need something that's quick and powerful, a breakthrough. Full moon might be when you do it. Then from full moon to dark moon, that waning stage, or, you know, as the moon gets smaller, that's when you start to worry about your removals and you push things away from you. So yes, I still do money work, but instead of calling money to me during that waning moon phase, I'm focusing on getting rid of debt, right? Yes, I'm still doing love work, but now I'm working on getting rid of relationships that aren't doing me any good, or healing from traumas if I have something that, you know, popped up that month, or, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm worrying about the removal part of it. And you can use a full lunar cycle to balance yourself out, right? So from dark moon to full, you're calling money into you. And then from full to dark moon again, the second half of that cycle, you're pushing out debt. So the entire month you've worked on your money situation, right? You've tried to reset yourself financially during that whole month. Lunar cycle is pretty nice. And it's enough time. It's a long enough time that you can really space out your work, and also short enough that you can see results like a little quicker than, you know, a full calendar year. Okay, cousin, I hear you say, you know, I have a structured settlement and I need cash now. I can't wait for a solar cycle. You know, I can't wait for that full moon. Okay, I got you. In the spirit of doing work when work needs to be done, when you can't, you just go from largest to smallest units of time. So a solar cycle is a year. A lunar cycle is a month. The next, you know, unit of time would be a week, right? So I need money right now. The full moon was 4 days ago. I have some options here in the week that I'm in. If I'm trying to utilize the same spirit, the same like timing of a full moon, I might do it on a Monday. Why would I do it on a Monday? Because Monday is moon day, right? If I'm trying to jinx someone, get someone to, like under my control, or, kind of put someone in their place, or push someone, basically I'm being a little belligerent, you know, I'll do it on a Tuesday. Tuesday's big jinx is a big jinx energy for me. If I have to fix someone, I'll do it right on a Tuesday night. That has a lot to do with mythology, right? Tuesday is Mars day. It's Aries day. It's credited with being a very warlike time. So you might utilize that. Going back to that money thing, I add money to my money bowl and ask the spirit of wealth to bless me every Thursday. Again, you know, some people credit that with a very wealthy, rich vibe. They, you know, it's Jupiter energy. For me, I don't worry about none of that. But for me, Thursday is the day I get paid. So it's the richest I will be before Sally Mae gets her cut of my take home. That heifer. Right. So Thursday is a day of wealth for me. Right. So that's when I'll feed my money spirit pot. That's when I will try to do my bills like on a Thursday, right? What else? Oh, I like to end work on Saturdays. So say I'm doing a 3-day, I don't know, blockbuster, or I'm doing a work that takes place over a long period of time, right? I like to end it on a Saturday because that's the end of the week's cycle, right? Sunday's the start, Saturday's the end. Those are weekends, right? I don't know. That something about that syncing up just feels really good to me. I wish I could give you a better explanation than that, but I can't. And of course, Sunday is a holy day, or for me, it's a day of, you know, ancestor veneration. That's the day when, you know, we had a good dinner after church, when things were quiet and restful in the house. Even though I'm not Christian, oh, child, that was also the day a lot of cleaning got done. Even though I'm not Christian anymore, it's still a day of reset for me. The day where, you know, I clean off my desk, the day where I meal prep, the day where I leave some offering out for the ancestors, where I, you know, light up the incense, where I try to reset myself spiritually. It's a reset day for me. Right. I think I do a lot of peace work on Sunday, too, especially when I know I'm going into a week that's about to just be some real bullshit. I will peace work myself real good on Sunday. Okay, so you want to do some peace work and reset yourself, you know, because the week's been hard, but it's Wednesday. Like, it's just hump day, y'all. That's cool. Remember, just go to a smaller unit of time within the day, preferably liminal times. Like, dawn is a great time to call in blessings. So as the day goes about, your blessings grow. I'll get up and burn some peace powder. I made, light a candle, say Psalm 142. And when the sun starts to peak in the eastern sky on a Sunday, right, I face it and I toss the incense ash. Or during the week, you know, I had a particularly hard day the night before. At dawn, I'll use that peace powder in a bath, toss the bath water, you know, out. Or I'll sprinkle some peace powder on my welcome mat and sweep it toward my home. You get what I'm saying? Like, at dawn is a time where we can reach for blessings because we have all day for those blessings to find us in the light of day, right? So if you use dawn to call blessings, obviously I use dusk to remove, right? I don't think that that's normal. Again, that's how I like to work. My thought being that as I move into the night, whatever it is I want to get rid of is being pushed into the abyss of night. Same with noon and midnight. If I want to bring something to me, I do it at noon. If I want to commune with the ancestral spirit or seek spiritual vision or send something out from me at a crossroads and I've got time, right, I'll wait to do it at midnight. Set out the whiskey, pull out the plan cards, you know, get my mace, walk to the crossroads. All right. Like, I'll wait to do it around midnight. Nah, but cousin, you like, I gotta do it right now. Like, right now, right now. Okay. You'll never guess what I'm about to say. If you need to do it right now, then use a smaller unit of time. Zora Neale Hurston talks about using good and bad hours as she learned it from someone she worked under. So good hours are 2, 4, 5. 6, 7, 9, 11, and 12. That's day or night. And of course, that means bad hours would be 1, 3, 8, and 10. And, you know, you can start to incorporate superstitions. You can start to incorporate numerology. 7 is a lucky number, right? That's a superstition I have. It's also a good hour. So at 7 p.m. on a Thursday on the full moon, I'm going to do some money work, right? Like, if I really want to take timing into consideration, I can layer all of that up. Or I don't got time for the full moon. I don't got time for a Thursday. I need money work right now. I'm going to do it at 7 in the morning, right? Like, that kind of thing. 5 is a number for justice, freedom, change. At least how I understand numerology. So maybe at 5 p.m. you light up a court case candle. I don't know. I'm spitballing at this point. I feel like you get what I'm saying. When you get to small units of time, you get cunning, you get creative, and you use what you have at hand. And that includes the actual time of the day, right? And you get your work done, you know, when you need it done. The trick to all of this is to be consistent. Stick to what your mentor taught you. If you're like me and you built a system for yourself based on what you've picked up here and there, be clear in your system. Understand your system. Okay. If you go to a worker and they tell you that every day for 7 days, you have to get up at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. and light 7 green candles and drop 7 pennies outside your door, then you better do all of that. Right. It's not up to you to change it. It's not up to you to modify it. At that point, you are working within someone else's superstition. You're working within another worker's system, and you have to follow what they say. Otherwise, without consistency, timing means absolutely nothing. And also remember that when taking timing into consideration, it's not just about when you start the work, when you light the candle, when you do the prayer, when you, you know, feed the spirit pot. Also take timing into consideration of when you want work to start, right? Like, so if your boss is being grouchy as shit, you know, because they forgot to eat lunch at 2 o'clock, you know, then at 1 o'clock, you want that sweetening to start. Like, like take timing. Timing can be not just when you start your work, but when you want the work to go into effect. I want to remind you of that as well. All right. So, you know, that was 30 minutes of a lot of information. I encourage you to go back and take a listen to that again. Some of it you probably already heard, like your lunar cycle. I already talked about the solar cycle, but it might be worth listening to again if you're a little confused. I was moving kind of fast, very sorry. But we've reached that part of the podcast where I like to answer a question online. I have 2 questions here, but I think I'm only going to answer one of them, and I'll save the second one for another episode. So the question I have in front of me is, what is something about your spiritual practice that greatly improves your mental health? Now, I get where you're probably like, Coco, that has nothing to do with the topic. Normally, your questions have something to do with the topic. Normally. But it's in the answer this time. Something that greatly improved my mental health was resetting my circadian rhythm. I think that's what that's called. Yeah, my circadian rhythm, which is all about your sleep and awake cycle, right? It's a natural internal process that regulates when you're asleep, when you're awake. And I set that to the natural rhythm of the day, right? So in the most mundane way possible, I took timing into consideration when I was awake, when I went to sleep, right? I put myself on a cycle. I had to do that, honestly, before I could do any of the other stuff. One of the symptoms of your spirit being off, maladjusted, disturbed, one of the symptoms of that is, you know, just not being able to sleep well. And I'm not talking about like, oh, you need a CPAP because you die when you sleep. I'm talking like insomnia. The anxiety's got you up. The dread of the next day is keeping you from going to sleep. Reliving all of the embarrassing and anxiety-ridden memories from the day before, or a conversation you had with a friend 4 days ago, all that stuff that keeps you up, that affects you spiritually, right? And in turn, you don't sleep. And when you don't sleep, your spiritual power, your ability to maneuver mind, body, spirit is definitely impacted. So at the beginning of my spiritual practice, the first thing I did was figure out how to put myself in a circadian rhythm that works for me, like that, that will help me get rest outside of, you know, the lavender oil, the whatever. So I ended up having to switch jobs because I worked retail at this major box store and I was a manager. So I would have to close at 10 and then my store manager would have me back in the next day at 7. I can't rest that way, right? Because by the time you get home at 10, I gotta decompress. I gotta read a book. I gotta take a calming bath, excuse me, or shower. And next thing I know, it's midnight. And then I have to be back up in the morning at 5, 6:30 to be, you know, for at 5 o'clock, 6:30, my ride is showing up and I'm at work at 7. That's not enough time to get sleep, like, ever. So I had to switch jobs. And when I switched jobs, I went from working crazy hours to a steady 2:30 to 11. And I even messed that up a little bit because that meant that I could stay up all night, right? Because I got off of work at 11 and I have to be back to work till 2:30. So I can stay up until 4 in the morning. Not true. I had to find that day rhythm, right? So that way I could take care of myself, mind, body, spirit. I had time to meditate in the morning. I had time to eat breakfast, decompress, enjoy my day, go to the doctor's appointments. I had to figure out how to put myself on a rhythm that when the sun is up, I'm up. And when the sun goes down, I don't necessarily have to go to bed, but I need to start working towards body reset. I need to start working towards sleep, right? So when I eventually, when I got off at 11, I was out cold by 12:30 because I had been up since like 8, 9 o'clock the morning before. And then eventually, you know, I got a big girl corporate job and I now work, you know, 7 to 4. So I'm on a normal rhythm like everybody else. But I had to put myself, like, I had to start timing my sleep. And I did a lot of work around getting rest. Like I said, I would do the lavender essential oil. I did, I had special baths to help me rest, to help me find peace, things like that. So that way I had to start winding down, turn the lights dimmer, put the books away, no TV in my bedroom. I had to start doing that in order to reset myself, like reset the body, right? And solve the problem. I also had to solve the problem of the anxiety keeping me up. So that meant some nights I might have to meditate. Some nights I might have to journal because I have to get those thoughts out of my head. I cannot carry that with me into, you know, the next day. I can't carry that with me into sleep. And in turn, you know, my dreams became a little crazier. So spiritually, I was no longer, you know, up until exhausted. I was dreaming now. I had visions when I slept. In turn, physically, I realized, oh yeah, I die when I sleep, right? Like, because now I get consistent sleep. You know, I'm on a consistent sleep schedule. So when I'm up at 4 in the morning, is it the witching hour or is it because my body jolted me awake because I'm not getting enough air, right? So, health things started to also pop up. Spiritual things popped up. Health things popped up. And I went to fix that as well. Went to the CPAP and then the dreams will always happen, I think. I always have weird dreams. you know, I could start to fix my health issues that way too once I fell into a good circadian rhythm and once I understood that I needed rest. Like I cannot allow my nervous system to be on 24/7. I have to turn off. Right. So yeah, there's sleep things. There are some spiritual things around it, some spiritual work that I did, kind of light compared to probably what I would do now. But I gave myself a bedtime. I started to wind down. I started to, you know, journal, meditate, pray, all those things to get me to come down. So like I said, now at 10 o'clock, by 10:05, I'm out. Like my bedtime is 10. I'm out cold by 10:05. Like I said, that's years. That's 6-7 years of me putting myself on a bedtime that works with my work schedule as well. But putting myself in a bedtime, and in turn, I wake up refreshed. I wake up rejuvenated. I can dissect those dreams more clearly. I can maneuver through my day with more power in my body, more spiritually enabled, because I allowed my body to rest. Sometimes I think what we don't think about is that getting over, under, and through is mind, body, spirit. And if your body is not rested, if your mind doesn't have a chance to turn off, you can be spiritually disturbed, right? Like the symptoms, everything's connected. So symptoms will start to go from place to place. So you have to fix yourself, mind, body, spirit. And that's the first thing I did. And that's probably the most impactful thing I did, was look at my sleep schedule. Definitely. All right, cousin, you made it to the end of the podcast. Congratulations. If you've made it this far, I want to remind you that hitting the subscribe button is in fact free. And it brings me some joy. And hopefully I can bring you joy every week as well. I hope you enjoyed this episode. This was a weird one for me, because again, I went into the field journal and I pulled out, you know, what is it that I actually do? The lunar cycle is not something that I do every month. I got to be honest with you. Like, I don't, every month I'm not blessing my home. Every month I'm not sprinkling red brick dust. I'm not sweeping out my home every month. That's also something I do when it needs to be done. But just keeping track of that using the lunar cycle is helpful, right? Like, do I need to do that this month? No, my house feels good. You know, did I have to do it this month at all before now? Maybe I need to double down. That's also an answer. You know, I think that timing and hoodoo, again, we do work when work needs to be done, but also we can utilize these liminal spaces, these natural rhythms that occur around us to really help us get work done. If we're cunning enough, if we're creative enough to take advantage of them when they happen. But I just want to remind you that if you can't, then you can't, right? Like, that's okay. If you can't, then you can't. Burn the candle near your door for money on a Saturday. Do what you need to do to get what you need. But if you can, then it's definitely worth utilizing. It brings a little structure. It brings consistency. It brings commitment as well, because if you're committed to doing this from, you know, from sun up to sunset or every day at 7, that adds a layer to your work that can really help. All right. Before we get out of here, cousin, I want to let you know that you deserve the world. You deserve to live in a rhythm that serves you. Right? Mind, body, spirit. You deserve to get your work done whenever that happens to be. And you can get your work done because you are cunning. You are creative. You have everything you need at your fingertips to do the work, the spiritual work, when it needs to be done. And if you call for your blessing, whether that's at a full moon, whether that's on a Monday, whether that's at 12 noon, I promise you, your blessings will come to you. I'll see you guys next time.